Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
It's good. Ring that opening bell. We got Katrina commemoration all week. We got the start of college football this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Labor Day.
Yep.
And then the start of the NFL season?
Yep, start of the NFL season and high school football season, both the week from Thursday.
Now, if we can only get the grass to stop growing,
you're
please,
right.
For the love of God. It seems like all I've done all summer long is cut grass. I guess because it's rained and the heat and the additions have been, conditions have been ideal. I was cutting grass till 7 o'clock last night, and I couldn't get to sleep because I was so tired. But that's my problem. We come back, we'll talk to Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, goes to Sports Talk, recap the Saints-Broncos game, and look to what the final 53 could look at like. We'll be back on WWL. All right, 6:14, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's going to be a nice week, really. Lower humidity, highs in the 90s, no chance for showers as it stands now until Saturday, although I don't know that they can guarantee you don't get a pop-up here or there. And the good news is tropics are quiet, so we'll definitely take that. Mike Dettelier joins us now, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk, to recap the Saints-Broncos game and talk about what the final 53 is likely to look like. How you doing, Mike?
I'm fine, Tommy. Thank you.
You know, I tried to evaluate people on Sunday, but again, you don't know who's doing what against whom. It does seem as though Kool-Aid struggled a lot.
He got picked on, okay, it depends on who you're going up against. Mm-hmm. And you saw it early in that game. They went after him pretty good and had some success there. So, Kool-Aid's a guy they're counting on a lot, and you're going to have some games like this. The one thing I see with him is he's a savvy football player. He understands this game at a very high level. Mm-hmm. And when you get beat, that's part of the business at playing corner.
Right.
You know, they ain't a lot of Deion Sanders walking this earth that can do it at that level.
Sertain,
that.
Right? Patrick Sertain either?
Yeah, Patrick. Patrick's a special guy, too.
Junior
one. Sure is.
So what impressed you, who impressed you in the game on Saturday and maybe improved their chances of making the team?
I like what I saw from the running backs and Kendra Miller, and also later on, his first chance he got to play is Devin Neal, the draft choice from Kansas. I like what I saw from both of those guys. Again, with Kendra, I think it's not only learning the NFL game and getting your body right, but but also the mental part of it, understanding where you got to go, what you got to do on every play. And I know Deuce and I have talked about this quite a bit, about with him, you can see he's got a lot of talent. Yeah, that's never been a question of that. It's been, can you stay healthy? Are you in shape? Are you understanding every possible detail when you're out on the field, being a professional? And I think he's grown into that. With Devin Neal, he's a short-cut guy that's really tough runner between the tackles, and he's got a little bit of a kick. Once he gets to the second level, his ability to pick up the blitz is there, and he can catch the football real well coming out the backfield. I like what I saw from him. The other guy, too, that made some plays on defense, Fadil Diggs, who was their seventh-round pick from Syracuse, and he was the New Jersey Gatorade Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. He goes to Texas A&M, where I thought he was a good player there. He was never an upper echelon guy, but he was good. And goes back to Syracuse for his final year, and I really thought he lifted his play up really well. And he's played with his hand in the dirt as a pass rusher. And also he's played as a kind of a hybrid 3-4 outside linebacker, learning how to drop into coverage. And he can play on special teams. So that particular part really stuck out to me, that he was able to make some plays on special teams, also get some pressure from the edge. And Jalen Ford, when we've talked about him before, was a draft choice a year ago from Texas, who had some injuries early on in his rookie season. You see with him, man, it's all the wheels are clicking right with him. Mm-hmm. He gets it. He's in a position to make plays. He's physical. He can run the field very well. And I really think Diggs and Ford, along with Neal, because we hadn't seen him. He's been out for 2.5 weeks with a hamstring injury, really helped themselves make this 53-man roster.
Can we read anything into the back? We didn't see Devon Vele, or just wasn't ready, didn't know the offense,
and that's late, because that deal was Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then, by the time you get all ready and you come in here and you got to pass a physical and everything else, I think if you've made that deal for him and given up 2 draft choices for him,
right,
you sort of know what he can do. Okay? You sort of know what he can do. My first impression was an off-season knee surgery was concerned, okay, is he going to pass that physical? And he did. And he gives you a sort of big man receiver, mm-hmm, that you didn't have on this roster. He's 6'4 and some change. How quickly he can assimilate himself. The thing about it is, you don't have to play this weekend. There is that 2-week gap now that before the end of the third regular season game and the regular season. And that's that gap that you can get him into the floor and what you want to do offensively.
Kind of rough to play when you're still trying to figure out where the restroom is, huh?
I'm sure that one he's figured out.
Yeah, I hope so.
But it is something that this football team, come on, you're in the rebuilding stage. And there's no way to cut around that. That's what you're in right now.
Although I've never been in a Saints facility. I don't know how many hallways there are, et cetera. Sometimes I've been in buildings where, it's like after a couple of days, I'm still not quite sure. Wait, where is it? This hallway? That way? All right, we'll pick it up. We're going back 6:20. Mike Dettelier, our guest. You got any questions? 504-260-1870. He and Cannon will be guessing at the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach, Hancock County, Mississippi, from 4 until 8 this evening. If you can, head out there, join them, have a good time. If not, just listen on WWL. Traffic now on WWL. 6:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Sean Payton starting to lose his hair. That's all I'm saying. Mike Dettelier joins us now, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. What about Jonas Senker?
He's been impressive from the time he hit the camp. I'm not kidding you. Smart, He puts himself in the right position to make a play in run support and also, you know, via the air. And I could say the same thing about Quincy Riley.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonas Senker's got that certain it factor to play in this league. He is very smart, and it doesn't take long for the brain to tell the body what to do. And a lot of times you got talent and you got physical ability, but there's a little hesitation.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes God kind of bless you with better instincts than others, certain people. He's got those type instincts. One day he's going to be a starting safety in the NFL. He really will be. You can see it. He's got those type of skill sets. And Quincy Riley, I can say the same thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
And one bad play doesn't affect the next. You've got to be able to have some sort of amnesia.
Mike, it's the same thing with what we do. You know
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can't dwell on the mistakes. Just that's behind you. It's on its way off to Venus. Just keep moving on. That's all you can do.
Yeah, and some shows are better than others.
That's the way it's going to be.
Okay, and
well,
so
mine are all great, but I get the point.
Yeah, and sometimes to the people around you. Sometimes, you know, you have shows where you got great guests, and you just sort of along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And then
like
you,
I am now.
A lot of times, you got to drive the vehicle because the guests aren't quite getting you there with. I think that's a part of the NFL that a lot of people don't get, that, okay, there are star players in this league, no question about it, but a lot of times it's about fit, the people around you, the scheme, the coaching. All that's got to come into place for you to have some success. You're part of it and a big part of it, but also there are other factors into that. And you're going to see that the first few weeks of the season. I do think because of the way preseason is played today, the first few games are a little bit of a mirage too. Because now, you know, a lot of times.
You know what? I had that conversation with somebody yesterday where the first two games are kind of preseason games too because you're really tackling and really going after each other.
For the first time.
Yep.
And getting used to the speed of regular season. There's a jump from high school to college. And there's a jump from college to being in the pros, training camp, preseason. You want to see a jump in speed and physicality? Watch the first couple of games of regular season and what you've watched in preseason. Totally different.
Yep.
And
well, you got a lot of vets on the field for one thing that you didn't have in preseason, right?
And those are the guys. Okay, you're trying to, in essence, get them ready for the regular season, mm-hmm. but also they play at a certain pace.
Mm-hmm.
They get it. I got this team. I've made it. I've made it on this team. I just want to make sure I get ready for the regular season. Don't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And how you don't get hurt? You play like hell. Because if not, that's when you get hurt.
That's right.
A lot of times, sometimes you just get caught and it's a bad hit. But a lot of times, you know, maybe you kind of get some friendly fire. Somebody kind of
talk about
gets
friendly
into
fire. Landon Young, do we know what happened to him?
I don't know, but man, they bring the card out for you, and he's a big man now.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we go back to how many times I've said it: offensive line. Shane Lemieux, he gets nicked up in the second quarter, also. Man, it's and nobody's got depth anymore.
But everybody, but it seemed like the talking point before preseason started was the offensive line and how good they were going to be and what kind of depth we had and you deepened to
your not.
Yeah, exactly. And you said most often injured player in the NFL is what position?
Tackles, guards, centers.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back more with Mike Dettelier. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Osan. 6:39. You know what struck me about this explosion in Roseland is that the people that are out of work, and they have these signs all over every time you go to a plant that says safety first, right? Safety first, number of days without accident.
Yep.
And it's not only to protect the workers, it's to protect the business and the plant because, for example, years and years ago, you wouldn't remember this, when the Continental Grain Elevator blew up, there were a lot of people that were just out of work instantly. It was gone. and it took a long time to build it. When I was attending the University of Life, I was working for a construction management company that helped rebuild that elevator. So God bless those people. We'll take a break, come back, talk more with Mike Dettelier here on WWL. All right, 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I'm not ignoring the quarterback situation. I'm saving it. Mike, you're a golfer. It seems as though watching the kickoffs on Sunday, it's gone from hitting driver off the tee to a hooded four iron. Accurate?
I would agree. I would agree.
And that's because of the new rule, and they're trying to sort this out through preseason, and it seems to bounce the ball, it seems better to just kind of chip the ball and bounce it and have it land around a five or something?
Yeah, and that way you have to return it, okay? And, you know, you feel as though your coverage unit can get down there and make a play on the return man.
Mike, I'm not 30, but if all you need is somebody to bounce it down to the five, I can do that.
Yeah, just get out of the way afterwards.
Oh, I'm off the field. You better get a cart out there to get me off.
Martin, and we had Martin on, I think this was a month or so ago, Bobby and I, and he was talking about Walter Johnson, who's from Northeast Louisiana, and he was with the Oilers back then. And he said, man, Martin had to deal with it. He hit the ball as hard as he could, but he always had his head down. And he said, man, I had been told before the game.
He's going to attack the kicker, right?
They're going after you. And he said, man, I hit the turf as fast as I could with it. But, yeah, it's pretty much trying to bounce it, trying to have your special teams guy make a big play. And it's all about setting up field position and trying to take it away from you. We talked to Bobby April last week and about the biggest change in pro football, and I would say it's happening in college football too, is all these 50-yard-plus field goals and now 60-yard-plus field goals. Tommy, it's unbelievable to see the accuracy of these guys today and the evolution of the soccer-style kicker and most of these young men today, and I would say probably 95% of them, they were soccer players.
Right.
And golfers.
Yep.
And there is a little bit of a connected dots.
There's a lot of a connective dots between kicking the football and golf.
Correct.
And even in high school years ago, they would attack the kicker because they'd tell me, they'd look at the film and say, get ready, they're coming after you. And I did.
And so soccer and the soccer part, I think, has revolutionized pro football. From back in the 60s when, you know, Pete Gogolak was the first soccer-style kicker and you saw Jan Stenerud, and then it sort of has evolved. But for these 185-pound kickers to be hitting 60-yard-plus field goals, and I mean, that's the one strong point with the Saints.
Okay, but
man,
yes.
Blake Groupie is really good.
Yes, and a very valuable weapon, which, like the Cannon said, could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. That's the only weapon we have. But, you know, I said it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a backup kicker because these guys are athletes and they can maybe learn how to do it. But somebody texted in, this is an even better idea. If all you're going to do is chip it down at a five, why don't you teach somebody like a safety to do that where you got really 11 men on the field that can go down there after it?
Because not everybody can do it.
Mike. I did not, it. I'm telling you.
Not everybody. Everybody thinks, oh, it's easy.
Mike,
oh,
I'm telling you.
And you get some of them.
It's not that
I played
hard.
High school football.
I'm just telling you, kicking the ball is not that hard. It's like golf. It's you can.
But you got to be so.
I'm talking about bouncing it down to the five now. I'm not talking about kicking a field goal, to be clear.
Yeah, you got to be so good at it. It's the same thing with punting. Years ago, if you could get it inside the 20, man, you were really good. Yeah. You know what they wanted today?
Three.
They wanted inside the seven.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And to be clear, I'm no athlete. That's why I say if I could do it. Anyway, let's get on with the quarterback situation. Would either Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler have a chance at starting with any other NFL team?
It would be really tough right now. Mm-hmm. Most of those teams are established with a either veteran quarterback or they have a guy.
So what
they
that says is that we got, in a way, is that the same as saying we got the bottom two quarterbacks in the NFL and from there we pick our starter?
Yeah, and basically, okay. We've talked about this for the last few weeks. Listen, it could go the other way, but I've always felt they would go with Spencer Rattler to start the season. He's got a little bit more experience than Tyler Shuck, And somewhere along the line, early on, the baton gets passed to Tyler Shuck. But I just a gut feeling that it would be Spencer Rattler to start the season.
Yeah, I would think so too, because of the scenario where if it's a slow start, not that you are setting Rattler to set up, setting him up to fail or anything. You tell him, look, you know, the leash is short. Show us what you got. Come in prepared. Play your best game. And if we're 4-0, it's your job. Or if we're 3-1 or whatever, if you're playing well, it's your job. I wouldn't put a number of wins on it, but because so many things determine, it's a team game, right? But I don't see the point in destroying Shuck's confidence out there early on.
And also, too, watching and seeing and getting him assimilated to how quick and how fast this game is, and to see it as you watch it.
Yeah, because you see looks
that you've never seen before.
Exactly.
And so you think it's man coverage. And so you go up to the line, okay, you call in the signals, and you see man coverage, and from man it goes to zone. Or you see a zone coverage, and it goes to man. I mean, people don't get how quickly that can happen.
Turn the page.
Yeah.
Turn the page. It's a pick six, and then you're on the sideline looking at the iPad saying, where the hell did that guy come from?
What happened?
Yeah, it wasn't the iPad, whatever they call it. What is it, a tablet? 6:51. Let me take a break, Mike. We'll pick it up. We'll come back 9 till 7. Good friend of ours, Mike Dettelier, our guest, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. We'll talk about the defense when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 6:55, 5 till 7. Mike Dettelier getting up early with us. He's got a long day. He'll be out at the Silver Slipper this evening from 4 until 8 on the beach, Hancock County, Mississippi. Tell me what y'all do out there, Mike.
Yeah, well, we got 4 hours tonight, and we'll be talking Saints. And, man, the college football season's right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to the Nichols Colonels.
Yes, I saw a lot of Nichols pride over the weekend, man. I'm going to tell you
what. How about that?
At something I had to attend, and then at the home show yesterday.
Yeah, and then they upset fourth-ranked Incarnate Word at Nichols, 20-6, and defense was just awesome. Tommy Rybecki's first head coaching stint, and went really well. So, man, congratulations to the Colonels. And
yes,
so
sir.
We'll be talking LSU, Tulane, certainly the Colonels. And we'll have on Jim Henderson comes on with us tonight. Yeah, Jim's coming on tonight. Talk a little bit of Saints, also some memories of Katrina. And a guy that Bobby and I have known for over 50 years, Clarence Verdan. Clarence grew up in Terrebonne Parish, was a terrific return man, wide receiver. And we'll talk sports and also Katrina with him, because at that time, Clarence was living in New Orleans East. And, man, the floodwaters got him. And he will tell the story. He had to hitchhike back to Houma, back to his mom's house. But, you know, we didn't – just that little jog when it took to the right sort of spared a lot of damage wind-wise, certainly,
right,
in Lafourche and Terrebonne. And Clarence left New Orleans East, hitchhiked back to Terrebonne Parish.
I'm guessing he was in Eastover, maybe?
He would have to tell you the exact story. And somebody owed him money in the NFL, an owner that he thought he got cheated out of, Jimmy Ursay. And Jimmy stepped up to the plate when he heard about what happened with Clarence, who lost his home. Mm-hmm. Clarence had always told Manny, he owed me $2 million. He didn't pay me because he traded me. They had some kind of deal contract-wise, and Jimmy actually paid him the money.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
After and go to show how many, you know, people talk about bad in this world, but there are also so many good stories too about people stepping up.
Mike, I'm glad you said that, because that's what we're trying to do this week, is talk about how many people stepped up, because it was like the nuclear bomb went off. I mean, it really was, in a way. I talk about Eastover, that golf course is gone. They had just expanded to the 36 holes, never did open again. I don't know what's going on with the houses out there. I haven't been out there. Give me some surprises that we're likely to see tomorrow with the final 53 and the practice squad.
I think if I would have told you Torricelli Simpkins before training camp started is going to make this team and has a legit shot somewhere to be a starter, you'd have said you're crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think he's done that. The hardest cuts for the Saints are going to be across the defensive line. That's where they actually have some depth and some talent depth across the board. And they've been fortunate, Tommy. That's one area that has stayed relatively healthy so far. Knock on wood. But they got to go out and get offensive linemen, and also got to be able to find another corner. You never have enough offensive linemen and cornerbacks. I think the other cuts are going to fall into line, but it goes to show you how quick all this happens. I'll never forget Jeff Charleston telling me, Mike, I went from being cut, 5 days later I'm working at a lumber factory. The reality of the sports world, of how quickly that changed. I'm in an NFL camp playing in the NFL, and now, you know, I'm working at a lumber factory.
Yep. Kind of like the same thing again with us, where I would have a hard time going to a 9-to-5 job punching the clock. I got to tell you, I really would. I don't know how I'd handle that. Would you?
At my age, probably I wouldn't be great about it.
Just hang it up, huh?
Yeah.
Wrap it up. All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank
we'll be listening this evening on Sports Talk 4 to 8 live from the Silver Slipper. Come back, talk to Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. Then Jason Fields, chief operating officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, will have a special feature on Bank On It. We'll talk about what the Fed did in Jackson Hole over the weekend. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWO. I-710, so no tropical weather for 10 days. They'll get us to August 35th, right?
Something like that.
All right. And then you got, no, but seriously, it would take us to September 3rd, maybe. A statistical peak of hurricane season week after that, September 10th. Of course, things can happen after September 10th, but we've been lucky so far. Let's hope.
That's the good news. Let's hope no October hurricanes. Let's hope we get out of this unscathed, then get well into November before we even think about well, let's get to November and start celebrating. That's what we should be doing.
I think we've been scathed enough. I don't think we need to be scathed anymore. Remembering Katrina 20 years later will certainly tug at your heart, but mostly it makes you appreciate the resilience of the people of Greater New Orleans and Gulf South as they picked up the pieces. All this week, join us as WWL presents Katrina 20 years later, the rebirth of one of America's most beloved cities. Special news story plus interviews with Tommy. Dave interviewed me on Friday, which was weird, because I don't think I've ever been interviewed before. I'm used to being on the other side of it.
I was about to say, when you're on the other side of the microphone, it's a little bit awkward.
Completely different. Newell Scoot and Sports Talk all week long, powered by Entergy and on WWL. We'll talk to Jeremy Alford about redistricting when we return here on WWL. It is 7:15, and it's going to be nicer this week. Lower humidity, no chance for showers really till the weekend, and thankfully, tropics quiet for the next 7 to 10 days. Jeremy Alford joins us now, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly, and I don't think it's going too far to say one of the most plugged-in political reporters in the state. Do you?
I'll agree with you, Tommy.
Okay, there you go. I thought you would. Let's talk about redistricting and what's going on in Louisiana now that the redistricting turns, that soap opera was settled in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, this pulls in a lot of different characters. You got California, Texas, the Supreme Court, the Louisiana legislature, the governor, the president. And for Louisiana's purposes, we're waiting to see what the Supreme Court does in mid-October.
Let me step back, Jeremy, if I can, because I'm a little bit confused myself, and I tried to research this as to what exactly happened with the initial – take me back to the census – and then the most recent census that started the redistricting, mm-hmm. and what happened from there?
Sure. So redistricting is a decennial task. It happens every 10 years, and states will take the most current U.S. census numbers, and they will build their congressional districts around that. Mm-hmm. In Louisiana, that meant that not only have lost congressional districts over the years, but for the current maps, we have six congressional districts. We have two that are majority black, and we have four that are majority white. And there has been an ongoing legal drama that has stretched over 3 years regarding Louisiana's efforts to draw that map. The most recent one is pending in the Supreme Court.
Louisiana or
the U.S.
SCOTUS.
Supreme
okay,
Court.
All right.
And there are going to be arguments on October 15th on whether our current maps that allow for those two majority black districts, four white districts, is going to stand. There was a group of non-African-American parties that filed suit saying that our maps were drawn based on racial reasons. And so the Supreme Court is now weighing that, and they're going to hear arguments on October 15th, and we're going to have to wait to see what happens. They could punt to make a decision later. They could issue a decision then. They could overrule the maps. They could go even further and overrule part of the Voting Rights Act.
That is the only thing that they can take under consideration, right, is the part of redistricting. Not gerrymandering, but as it relates to violating the Voters' Rights Act. Otherwise, it's up to the states. I'm talking about the Supreme Court now.
In a nutshell.
That's a simple explanation.
Section 2 of the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act.
Didn't politics enter into this, too, with can't think of his name right now.
There's this whole thing.
Not politics, but the guy they wanted, the representative, Garrett Graves.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think regardless of what would have happened there, we would have still ended up with two black majority districts.
Okay.
But the legislature did make the decision to get rid of Garrett Graves' seat as it was drafted. And he was the congressman out of Baton Rouge.
So we lost one, right?
That's right.
So how do they go about determining which one we lost? That's up to the legislature to decide?
It's up to the legislature. The legislature draws those lines and decides what the boundaries of each district would look like.
So Garrett Graves had, I'm guessing part of it, ticked off the wrong people, and he said he was an odd man out?
Yeah, you know, Garrett Graves had bumped heads with our governor, Jeff Landry, mm-hmm. many times, and Jeff Landry was, you know, arguably kind of still in his honeymoon period and had a great deal of sway over the legislature, and he still does today.
All right, let me take a break.
And,
Go ahead, finish your thought, Jeremy, and then we'll take a break.
No. I was just saying that so that, you know, right now we're waiting to see whether the governor wants to move forward with another special session and whether the legislature wants to follow him there.
Well, and that's the question we'll answer when we come back. I don't know how you're going to have a special session when you're waiting on the Supreme Court to rule on this. 720, more with Jeremy Alford when we come back. Traffic now, WWL.
From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Joe Cardosi. Moving fine across the Bonnie Carey Spillway after a bit of initial congestion as you head in from Laplace, but I-10 is slow going between Loyola and Veterans as you head from Kenner to Metairie. Also seeing some lighter congestion between Causeway and West End as you continue eastbound. The Causeway is looking good to and from the North Shore. As you head in from Slidell, no major delays across the Twin Spans. You're hitting congestion around Reed that sticks with you through the Morrison Curve, but moving fine across the high rise once you get there. 610 westbound is all clear as you head toward Metairie from the east. As you move toward the CBD from the east on I-10, you're seeing congestion around Elysian Fields. It sticks with you till you reach downtown. The Pontchartrain Expressway has no major delays this morning. As you move in from the West Bank, you're on the brakes before General de Gaulle, moving better across the Crescent City connection, but it does stay congested till you reach the CBD. All clear in both directions across the Huey P. This morning's traffic is brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health System.
726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. So I'm confused because the Supreme Court is hearing a redistricting case, what one legislature passed. Now the governor's talking about calling a special session for redistricting. What happens in the interim with the Supreme Court, or do they wait for what the Supreme Court has to say?
So it appears that lawmakers and the governor are going to wait and see what the U.S. Supreme Court does in mid-October. The Speaker of the House, Philip DeVilliers, sent a text out last week to legislators asking them to keep their calendars open in late October to mid-November, just in case, so that they can go in quickly, redraw a new map. We interviewed the leaders of that process, most notably Caleb Klompeter. He's the chair of the Senate a committee that would oversee the redrawing, and he indicated what other legislators are telling us, that if that happens, that leaders are going to be looking at going back to five majority white districts and down to one majority black district. And Tommy, this is that Republican leaders would be looking at going to five majority white districts and one majority black district.
But doesn't that depend? How could they do that if the Supreme Court rules?
Well, if the Supreme Court rules, Tommy, if they remove Section 2 from the Voting Rights Act, that's the section that allows states to draw their congressional districts in a way that gives minorities a chance to be elected.
Right.
And the really important thing here is that this is part of a bigger national fight. Donald Trump has been urging governors to start to redraw their maps to get more Republicans elected to Congress. We're already seeing that happen in Texas. In response, Governor Gavin Newsom in California is saying, look, we can play that game too. There's going to be a ballot initiative to California voters in a couple of months, and they're looking to redraw their maps to give Democrats a better shot at being elected. And it's almost a wash, Tommy. You're looking at maybe five additional Democratic seats in California, five additional Republican seats in Texas, and then here's Louisiana. And this puts Jeff Landry squarely into a national conversation with the likes of Donald Trump, Gavin Newsom, the governor of Texas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this whole thing is just, you know, smacks of politics from beginning to end. And it's unusual because this is a decennial task. It only takes place every 10 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to me, it sounds like we now have a mid-cycle action now, and it's almost a full-time job.
And now the president's talking about maybe having another census. I saw that yesterday. I don't know what the Constitution calls for it every 10 years, though, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of unusual things in the air right now and in the ether that we're not used to seeing, and it's a new way of doing politics.
I'll tell you that. So if the Supreme Court says that the way the districts were formed initially is legal, or to not form them that way would violate the Voting Rights Act. That means there could not be a special session, and the districts would have to stand.
I don't know. I wouldn't be so quick to rule it out. I think some of these Republican governors are going to try to move forward and redraw maps anyway. The real question here, Tommy, that's of concern to your listenership. Is we've got two majority black districts right now, one based in Baton Rouge with Cleo Fields, and one that's anchored by New Orleans, which is Congressman Troy Carter. Now, if we go to five majority white districts, which one of those black districts are going to fall under fire? And there's a lot of folks looking at that New Orleans district.
Let me ask you real quick. We got midterms coming up, so how does all of this play out against that?
Well, this is all happening because we are having midterms, and it's going to be a kind of a race to the finish to see what can get done before then.
But no matter if the Louisiana legislature ignores what the Supreme Court says, then I got to believe it's going back to court. And what happens? Who gets to vote in between now and then with the midterms? Because I guess they could rule in a hasty manner, but
we're going to have to wait and see. There's a lot of unusual things happening, so I wouldn't take anything off the table.
A lot of stuff in the air. Thank you. Jeremy, I appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll talk to Jason Shields when we come back for Bank on It. We'll talk about what the Fed did in Jackson Hole. Right now, time for WWL First News with Ian Ozan.
WWL First News. Good morning. It's 7:31. I'm Ian Ozan on your official weather station, WWL. It's 82 degrees with a heat index of 88 in New Orleans.
Power can go out on a sunny, beautiful day. It's already happened to me several times, and you still have a chance to win a portable generator. We're now in the heart of hurricane season. We know everybody worries about losing power. Again, maybe even on a bright, sunny day. WWL wants to help ease your mind, so we teamed up with Craig's Electrical and Generator Service to offer you the chance to win a portable generator. Talking about a Generac GP6500 portable generator, total value almost $1,000. You can enter once every day. So start now. If you haven't already, go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win. If you have already entered, you can enter once a day, so do it again. You can win backup power from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service, because when the power goes off, Craig's comes on. And WWL, Louisiana's official emergency management station. When we come back, we'll bank on it. With Jason Shield, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust here on WWL. All right, here we go. Monday, 7:45. It is time for Bank on It. Jason Shields joins us, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. How you doing, Jason? What kind of weekend was it for you?
Hey, Tommy. It was a really good weekend, and I'm calling in today from Minnesota, where it's a crisp 52 degrees.
You son of a gun. Hang up on him, Tim. I don't want it. 52. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's like that 1 week we get in October that we all love. Apparently, it's all the time up here.
The only bad news I got for you, Jason, is that you don't get to stay in Minnesota. You got to come back.
This is true.
Yeah. Tell me about the Fed's meeting in Jackson Hole. First of all, I would like to get myself appointed to the Fed so I can go to Jackson Hole. How many times a year?
It's once a year. So they call it the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium.
Okay.
And so it's a pretty big deal in the economic world. So every August, the central bankers and economists, not just here in the United States, but around the world, gather in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And it actually started as a fairly small event in the 70s hosted by the Kansas City Fed, and then kind of grew into the world stage that it is today. But it's a fairly important thing where the Fed will actually dictate what direction they see themselves going over the next calendar year. This particular year was special as well, because everyone feels generally that this is going to be Chair Powell's last Jackson Hole meeting that he'll have, mm-hmm. because his term ends in May 2026.
And the next one would be in August of 2026. Right? I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Okay. I want to know what the Fed looks at, and give me a big overview of the Fed, if you would.
Yeah, so I really just wanted to do a high-level overview, because I think we all know about the Fed, but what is it that they do? We know a couple of sound bites. And really, the Fed has what's called a dual mandate, and it is the two overarching things. It's always data driven with them that they look at to decide what they're going to do with the tools in their toolbox. Most of us are familiar, of course, with the rate cuts that they use. They have a couple of other things that they can do, but the rate cut tends to be the one that we all hear the most about. And the dual mandate is relatively simple. It is that they need to maximum employment, which that's just tracking where unemployment is going, making sure that they have a strong job market. And the other one is stable prices. That's the one we're more familiar with, where it's keeping inflation under control. And so,
but wait, let me ask you a question. Where did they get this mandate from, Jason? Because you say we know about the feds, but maybe we don't about the Federal Reserve, right?
Right. This came when they were established, Tommy. This has been since day one in the early 1910s, and this was their job.
And they were established why, Jason? I'm just trying to get a handle on it.
Yeah, they were established simply to make sure that inflation's under control and the job market's strong.
And right? This is prior to the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Okay. Just asking. Go ahead, please.
No. It's a good question for everyone. So when it comes to inflation, the Fed uses their yardstick, as they call it, is the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. It's, you'll often hear it referred to as PCE. And what that is that's basically a broad measure of a wide range of household spending. So as people adjust their buying habits, then you'll see those shifts in the PCE. And their goal is a 2% inflation rate on the PCE. Now, interestingly enough, the last time we saw a 2% inflation rate in the PCE was in the spring of 2021. So we've seen higher than normal inflation, or higher than what their mandate would say inflation, for the past several years. Now, we're slowly starting to see it creep back down to that 2%, which is part of why they're signaling that rate cuts could be coming. Now, the rate cut I wanted to talk about briefly, sure, just because with the Fed rate, as it's known, is in essence, it's the borrowing rate, the federal funds rate for overnight funds. And so while that doesn't impact you or me specifically, we don't borrow at the Fed funds rate. Mm-hmm. That is what the cost of funds would be, and then banks would it trickles down to everything we do. It trickles down to our credit card rates. It trickles down to anything that has a variable rate or any new loans that you would get. Those typically have a spread over that Fed funds rate. Most people are familiar with the Wall Street prime rate. It tends to go pretty much lockstep with that Fed funds rate, and that's where that comes from. Now, we could talk about mortgage rates, which are a completely different animal, because mortgage rates actually get pegged to the 10-year Treasury note. And so usually when the Fed lowers a rate, you would see that 10-year Treasury go down as well. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the case. And I always like to tell everyone that, because they assume that the minute the Fed lowers a rate, that may mean that the mortgage rates are going down. Usually it does, but not always. So it's just something to kind of think about.
Tell me about inflation after 2021. Was that COVID-driven primarily or not?
Yeah, it was obviously COVID-driven, but it's also inflation is healthy to an extent. Mm-hmm. This is the best way I can describe that, right?
And that's why 2% is acceptable, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, if you have low unemployment, everyone has jobs, money tends to flow, the labor market tends to be demand for employees tends to be higher, wages go up, that tends to drive your inflation, right? So you make more money, you spend more money. That's in essence the gist of the whole thing. And so that's the delicate game that they play. And we're obviously seeing that when we go to the grocery store, you see it in everything that you would typically buy. The goal there is to keep that number somewhat healthy. So when Powell was giving a speech, there were two things that he said that I think were fairly standoutish that'll show the direction of where the Fed's going to be going for the rest of the year.
Okay.
The first was that he said that market conditions may warrant, I'm making air quotes, you can't see, interest rate cuts as early as September. It's exactly what the markets wanted to hear. It's exactly what everyone felt we would be hearing. Mm-hmm. And you saw that when the market went up Friday. And currently the futures market shows about a 90% chance of a September rate cut when the Fed meets. But the other thing, the smaller thing that kind of slips under the radar, is a little bit of a framework change. They have a thing that they call flexible targeting. And in essence, in 2020, the Fed announced something that they called average inflation targeting. And that doesn't really mean much to anyone, but in essence, what it basically said was, we're comfortable with a higher than 2% inflation rate because prior to 2020, that rate was lower. Mm-hmm. So in essence, you were basically just playing catch up, right? Okay. We were catching up with where we were. Now, what the Fed has said is those days are over, 2% is our target. That's where we're holding it. So if we're over 2%, Jason, why is the Fed signaling that there may be rate cuts?
That's my line.
Well, remember the dual mandate, Tommy. And in essence, what you're starting to see is weakness in the job market, unfortunately. Okay. And a couple of things did that. You may remember a few weeks back, there were some adjustments to the numbers for May and June's jobs, right? The numbers went down from May had 144,000 jobs, went down to 19,000. June went from 147 down to 14,000. As you can imagine, those are major adjustments, and they had quite the shockwave on the market. But then what we saw in July was 73,000. Now, what's considered a healthy job growth number generally, unlike the 2% inflation rate, the Fed doesn't say, this is what I want for unemployment, right? That would make things really simple for us. But what they did say, you know, what they said in the past, the general yardstick that we hold them to is about 100 to 125,000 new jobs on a monthly basis. That keeps up with population growth and new people entering the marketplace, right? That is what we would consider healthy. And because we have dipped below it for several months now, that is showing a weakening job market. And so that's in essence why the Fed is saying, yes, we're starting to open ourselves up to rate cuts.
Because you have taken
signs of weakness.
You have taken something very complicated and made it understandable. Thank you, Jason. Have a great week. Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Bank on it. Financial insight you can count on. And we'll have another one for you next Monday at 7:45. Right now, time for traffic on WWL. I got a couple of texts over the weekend about a LaToya Cantrell sighting at Houston's, having a drink and then walking out. And I don't know if it was her or not, but man, given the situation that she's in, would you go out in public and have a drink? Or would you just make it at home?
I'd probably make it at home, but also at the same time, I don't think she has any cares left to give. So,
yeah. I'd love to have her in. I don't think her lawyer will allow it, but just come on in and spend an hour with me talking about LaToya Cantrell, not Mayor Cantrell. LaToya Cantrell, when you were working in Broadmoor in Mid-City and we first became acquainted with you, and what it was like for you to take things over as a community leader, and I won't even mention mayor or anything else. We'll leave all of that off. Just talk about what you were like then and what led you to get involved and so forth. If you're welcome to it, you know, we used to be buddies. You hugged me when last time you delivered the budget, and you mentioned it here on WWL. We'd love to have you back, Mayor Cantrell.
And
pardon me. I was sneezing because I got allergies from yesterday cutting a dang on grass. But anyway, I would love to have her in.
Yeah, and it would be nice to have her on the air because I think there are a lot of people, residents of New Orleans, who want to hear from her, hear her side because of the lawyers in the legal process. We've been getting no comments.
Well, but she'd be welcome to go into that if she wants, but I don't think she's going to want to.
But still, it would be nice to hear.
It would be nice to hear. So, LaToya Cantrell, you're welcome. You know the numbers. Call us. We'll be glad to come in studio, spend an hour with us. 8:12, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll spend an hour with Paul Rainwater, former executive director of Louisiana Recovery Authority, as we gear up our 20th anniversary of Katrina coverage. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 8:16, now we're going to spend an hour with Paul Rainwater, former executive director of Louisiana Recovery Authority, but his history goes back and bio goes back a lot more than that. And I think, Paul, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks.
I think when both the Republicans and the Democrats turn to you to help get something done, you know what you're doing. Accurate?
I'd like to believe that sometimes, but you know, I do work in you know, Louisiana and New Mexico and Hawaii, a Republican state and two Democratic states. So, you know, for the time being, it's
well, specifically,
true, so.
I'm talking about Mary Landrieu and Jeff Landry, because
yeah,
those are pretty polar opposites.
Yes, sir, they are.
So let's talk about, you grew up where, Paul?
So I'm from DeQuincy, Louisiana. I went to McNeese State University. Mm-hmm. I went through ROTC. There was going to go on active duty and decided to go in the reserves and work in local government. So I worked with the Calcasieu Parish Police Jury for about 9 years. I was actually involved in the Hurricane Andrew evacuation. That's how I got my start in emergency management. Yeah, it sure was.
That was what year?
That was in 1989. Remember, it had crossed over from Miami and was heading towards Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Right, and went to Morgan City?
It ended up in Morgan City, but what was interesting is, for me, the emergency manager there, who was in his 60s, had passed out, and I was like 30 years old at the time, and the parish administrator had said, hey, they had all the national media had camped out in Lake Charles because that's where they thought it was going to hit. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, you know, I was doing these national interviews and then evacuating Southwest Louisiana. And so I actually became an emergency manager, just by accident, and then moved into general administration and worked for ConocoArco Chemical, and then had moved over. I'd lobbied state and federal and then went back to be the city manager in Lake Charles and was still in the armed reserves. And so anyway, that was kind of where I was from. But before Katrina, I deployed right after September 11th with an active duty unit to Afghanistan, to Kuwait, then Afghanistan, and was a civil affairs finance officer, came back, deployed again in 2004. And so that's kind of where I was at when, now, you know, I was.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I actually called up because I had been part of a large evacuation before by Governor Blanco as a civilian, not as a National Guardsman, to go in on August the 27th and begin helping them prepare. It was myself and about three other folks from around the state who were brought in to augment, like on the civilian side, how we might evacuate the city.
All right, let me take you back to July 27th, a month before. What were you doing?
So I had just gotten back from a deployment and was a city manager in Lake Charles. I was a deputy commander of a brigade size element, about 1,000 soldiers, and had just gotten back and was just trying to settle in and kind of get back to life.
So you get called by Governor Blanco on August 27th or around there to go to New Orleans to help try to evacuate tell me that part.
No, so what happened, on the 27th, Governor Blanco called Mayor Randy Roach, who was the mayor of Lake Charles, and said, hey, we're gathering up a few folks to help augment our – it was originally, just in the office. We'd like Paul to – help plan the evacuation. We're gathering up state and federal folks, and we feel like he could help. So I was actually called to the Office of Emergency Preparedness where on August the 28th, I was manning the logistics desk for those 2 days. And, that's where I was at, right? Just helping plan, evacuation pieces, where we might stage stuff. Working with the Corps engineers, with some active duty folks who were there. I'd done some fairly large stuff in Afghanistan and Iraq, so people felt like I could bring a skill set that some folks didn't have. So, the reality of it is, if you talk to people that day, and obviously it's all hindsight, but most folks felt like we were just doing a really strong planning exercise, right? Because, as you remember, originally
from Florida,
exactly. And but still, it was a big storm, and people wanted to be prepared, and so we were doing all the planning, that the 27th and the 28th, waiting for landfall.
Just to be clear, and Paul, you didn't know there was to be a history quiz. Andrew hit Florida August 24th, 1992. Just to clear that up, I just want people to know it's no big deal.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I didn't want people to keep texting. Anyway, it does remind you that was August 24th. Today's August 25th. Katrina hit August 29th. It's quiet for the next 7 to 10 days, so thank God for that. We'll pick it up. We come back with Paul Rainwater, 821. We'll go to August 28th, August 29th, what's going on then in 2005 with him, and then after with the road home and the recovery effort as we continue to look back at Katrina, or we begin actually looking back at Katrina here on WWL. Walter Isaacson will join me at 9:15, talk about his part with the Recovery Authority. Right now, traffic, WWL. 827, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Paul Rainwater, former executive director of Louisiana Recovery Authority. Somebody texted in, is his name really Rainwater? Well, it was especially appropriate when you were the emergency leader of the Sewage and Water Board, right?
Yeah, no, it was. There was actually a Halloween party where somebody dressed as Paul Rainwater, and they said it was the most appropriate name. New York Times made it one of the top 10 names for a person with a job in disaster recovery.
I think it means you were meant to do this. So take me to August 27th, 28th, before the storm hits. You're thinking it's an exercise then at some point, and the 27th would be Friday or Saturday?
I guess that would have been Friday.
Because I remember being on the air on the FM station and calling a salesperson and saying, look at this thing kind of heading toward us. That's when they called you in to talk about it being an exercise. And then what happened from there, Paul?
Well, so, we were doing planning. And then, that morning after Katrina had hit, it was about 5 a.m., 6 o'clock in the morning. We're starting to, get around the table, talk about what's happening, and then, a little bit later.
Wait, this is at 6 o'clock on Monday morning. Wait, Monday morning after the storm hit. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. Right.
But
yeah,
did you know about the levees? At what point did y'all know about the levees?
So, it's hard to remember. What I remember very succinctly and very horrifically, right, is, because think about it. Like at that moment, everybody believes that, the storm has passed through, right?
And Sunday afternoon, we were walking around downtown thinking, man, did we dodge a bullet?
We dodged a bullet. Yep. That's what everybody was thinking. And then a representative from the Corps of Engineers came out on the floor and said, we have a levee breach.
What time was this? Do you remember, Paul?
No, I do not. Okay. I don't remember. I just know it was in the morning, and I know that I never wrote that down, right? Because I'd been involved in Hurricane Pam exercises, right? That we had done the worst case scenarios, and I can't remember the year of that, but we'd been down. Well, I'm just saying.
I'm just kidding with the year. Yeah, no. The point is, and Dave Cohen and I were talking about that the other day. There was so much was going on. We were getting calls here from people in their attic saying the water was rising, but we didn't really know from where. There was no word from the city at all. And the first person to really tell the New Orleans area that the levees had breached was Dave Cohen on WWL on Tuesday morning because we watched the water coming up.
No, that's exactly right. But there was, amazingly, there was a lot of shock, right, in the governor's office of Homeland Security, based on what the Corps was saying. So we started, doing some planning. It was a little bit after that, on the 30th, that I was asked to deploy down to I-10 Causeway with a command center. Mm. There were already guardsmen down there. There were people gathering up, a lot of people obviously were being, with U.S. Coast Guard. I mean, we had Walter Isaacson will talk about this a little bit, I'm sure, but we just had a reunion with Admiral Thad Allen and General Honor Ray and General Benny Landrieu and a lot of folks that were involved in the Louisiana Recovery Authority. But, hearing them talk about their experiences, and then I was asked to go down and work with a major from state police who was down from home at Thibodeau, Ralph Mitchell, if I remember correctly.
Paul, I got to sneak in a break here because we're late for news. Sure. You can pick it up there. We come back. One other thing I want to address is the communication. Has anything changed since Katrina where if the same thing would happen, somebody would be able to connect the dots a little more quickly than we were then? Time now, WWL First News. Tommy Tucker back with Paul Rainwater, former executive director of the Louisiana Recovery Authority. Paul, I know you've been called in to help with other hurricanes from – what's the most recent one you've been involved with?
Well, so, I mean, I've been involved with Hurricane Sandy, with Maria, Harvey. I mean the Ida, Laura. So, anyway.
You might consider changing your name. But let me ask you this, seriously. We talked about the terrible communication that happened between – when you said, the Corps of Engineers says we've got a levee breach, when Dave Cohen goes on here Tuesday morning and says the levees have broken, we don't know how long, how much water is going to come in, the city is filling up the bowl, worst possible case has happened. Has anything been done to improve the communication between, us getting calls here at the radio station of, I'm in the attic, I can't get out, nobody connected the dots that the levees had breached with the canals, et cetera. Anything been done to improve that communication?
Well, the coordination is much, 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 much better. Today, there are people that are watching the levees. There are sensors. There are, you have multiple levee boards, but you also have this inner coordination that occurs now that's much different than what it was during Katrina. And not to mention the communications that we have today. I mean, back then it was like analog 800 megahertz. Today, right. Like the state of Louisiana, New Orleans, all public responders and the Corps of Engineers all kind of share the same system. You have WebEOC, you have, you even have Starlink satellite if you had to. You have National Guard units and, and Louisiana assets that can deploy that are mobile command centers with satellites on them that can link up and talk to people. But I remember, working with Mayor Landrieu during, the last time I did anything like this was the flood that occurred. And just the amount of people that were watching for, different problems with pumps and levees and or any storm system that's coming in. It's a very different, we have a very different attitude now about the levees and about the inner workings of flood protection and how we get water, keeping water out and getting water, and getting it out if it gets in from rainstorms. So it's a very different system now. It's very coordinated, and people watch it very closely.
Had Katrina not happened, would we be right back where we were?
No, there's no doubt in my mind. The only way we ever learn is by experience, unfortunately. I mean, you can look at studies around, whether it's, fires in New Mexico or I'm involved with the fires in Hawaii right now. And, people had talked about those things for quite some time and they happened. The same thing happens today. It's not, we have a lot of smart scientists and engineers and people, but we don't heed the warnings until they happen. And then we respond and we fix it and we try to make sure it doesn't happen again. So it's very unfortunate, but it's just human nature, unfortunately.
Paul, take me back if you can to that causeway. What was it? Overpass, whatever we're calling it, interchange, the I-10.
I-10 causeway. Got there. We did an assessment.
When is this, Paul, just for chronology?
This is August 30th.
Okay, so that'd be, I got my calendar here. You don't have to tell me. Yeah. August 30th would be Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So people are gathering up, and, it's a pretty horrific sight, right? August 30th and 31st are days I will never forget. I earned a combat action badge. I have a Bronze Star. I've done all that. But to see the civilian lives that had been lost, and then to have, we went out and did assessments, and to have nurses from nursing homes or hospitals, we didn't have any resources. And I'll never forget, Tommy, that night, 2 or 3 in the morning, we were, scanning through the crowd, and the helicopters are landing, dropping people off, finding children who, had lost their parents, and, taking those children and then having Children and Family Services come pick them up.
Did you have any temporary lighting at that, Paul? I'm just trying to get a picture of if you were working completely in the dark. Okay.
Yeah, by then there were we had some light. We had some lighting. We had some generators that were, providing lights. You only had about, 15 state policemen and some guardsmen and then this command center. And then you remember, a lot of folks were out doing rescues or, were, forward deployed at the, the Superdome.
Or on a roof.
Or on a roof. There are stories of para swimmers who swam 2 and 3 miles to rescue people. I mean, it just, the stories are just brutal.
They are in a way, Paul, but in another way, it kind of, in a lot of cases, and look, there's a tremendous loss of life and property and damage and everything else. But if you want to look at it from the other side, it kind of really did bring out the best in a lot of people.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, people stepped up. I mean, civilians, military, police. But, the people of New Orleans and people who self-evacuated, people who walked, people who wanted to survive or save their families, and people from around the state and around the country who came in to help. It was just an amazing effort. And, everyone pulling together, right, to do one thing, to save as many lives as you possibly could.
Paul, I wanted to get to this real quick before I let you go, too, and that is the Ninth Ward got a lot of attention, and rightfully so. But I had a tax accountant friend of mine, a couple of lawyers, as a matter of fact, lived on General Haig. And I helped him move the stuff out, and that's right off of the Orleans Avenue Canal, and that whole entire area was devastated. And the only thing I can't help thinking now is, had that evacuation order not been taken seriously, how many people would have drowned?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, I agree 100%. We've talked about that and after actions and the importance of heeding evacuations, and evacuation orders are just unbelievable. Super important.
And he would not be here. I know he'd be dead if he had stayed in the house. And along those lines, it's hard for a lot of people to evacuate. It's costly.
Absolutely. Well, it is. But, I think we as a country are doing much better in assisting people in evacuating who can't afford to evacuate out. We do a lot better job of that in making sure that, people understand, what could happen. I mean, the National Weather Service, the amount of communications we have today over our iPhones, right? We communicate very well, and we tend to, make analogies so people understand what can happen and that they heed the evacuation order. So.
We only have a minute left here. What is your most remarkable memory of everything with Katrina that you went through?
So just real quick, I mean, a couple things were, you know, that little girl, it was a little girl that I'd found that, you know, I had a team that was getting ready to leave because they were concerned for their safety. And I told them, I'm staying for this little girl. Mm. And I will never forget that as long as I live. Sorry if I'm getting emotional. The second thing is just Governor Blanco and the team, the Recovery Authority, my time in D.C. with Mary Landrieu, and working with a Republican White House and a Democratic governor. I'm a Republican, right? But nobody cared at that moment. The entire country was, and although there were tough times and there were some tough discussions about what we were going to do, at the end of it, we got the money we needed. And then, you know, obviously I went into work with Governor Jindal, with the Recovery Authority. And, you know, it's all kind of amazing when you think about it. And, you know, we were talking about it over the weekend with this group of really great people about what's been accomplished and about this city and about the resiliency of this city and how it continues to survive and thrive and, you know, pushes on is just amazing to me. So
thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. God bless you, man. Talk to you for 8 hours. I hope you come back. Paul Rainwater will take a break, come back, talk to Walter Isaacson, author and professor of history at Tulane, about his work with the road home and a lot of national attention that he brought to the area. Right now, 855 traffic, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.